Higher taxes you will pay, even if there is a fiscal cliff deal.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM in New York, good morning. I'm Mark Garrison in for Jeremy Hobson. There is still hope for a fiscal cliff agreement. Today, President Obama will meet with congressional leaders. Yesterday, House Speaker John Boehner told House members to come back for a rare Sunday session. A deal could prevent taxes from going up for many Americans, but those are income taxes. In recent years, there's also been a break on the payroll tax. That extra money in your paycheck was put in to stimulate the economy, and you're probably about to lose it. Marketplace's Dan Bobkoff reports.
There are two ways to look at the payroll tax holiday. Number one, it's a big deal, says Jared Bernstein of the Center on Budget and Policy Priorities.
We're talking about over $100 billion in stimulus added to people's paychecks.
Or number two, for a taxpayer making, say, $50,000 a year, it's a bit more cash, says Joseph Rosenberg of the Tax Policy Center.
That works out to be about $20 a week.
But did it help the economy? Joe Henchman is with the Tax Foundation.
I mean, it certainly didn't push us back to good times.
So what happens if we lose it? That depends on the fate of the Bush-era income tax cuts. Rosenberg says if those are extended,
then the impact of the expiration of the payroll tax is not likely to have a significant economic impact.
But whatever happens with income taxes, the payroll tax holiday appears over. I'm Dan Bobkoff from Marketplace.
Balance your life with dollar signs. Tune into Marketplace Money this weekend for a look at the issues affecting your wallet. Whether it's investing, renting an apartment, or sending your kid off to college, we'll help you navigate.
This year's drought is hurting more than farmers. The Mississippi River is at its lowest level in decades. It's so bad that the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers is fighting to keep barge traffic moving. Marketplace's Eve Troe reports.
150-mile or so stretch of the Mississippi is so low right now, jagged bedrock is close to the surface. That could scrape or even puncture the huge barges that silently float the river. Each one normally carries 70 semi-trucks worth of very heavy stuff.
Petroleum products, chemicals, salt for the roads this time of year, fertilizer for the spring.
Lynn Munch with American Waterways Operators, a shipping trade group, says the fleets of barges have lightened their loads, so they don't sink so deep in the water. They have to line up all day, waiting, while the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers breaks up the rock. The barges can only pass in the night. What's that old saying? Time is money?
The price to move everything has almost doubled.
She says the Army Corps should have seen this coming and busted up the rock sooner. Mike Peterson, a Corps spokesman in St. Louis, says while the slowdown is annoying, it's good for the long term.
This is something that'll give us a permanent improvement in that stretch.
He expects to finish the work in a few weeks. The drought, he says, could go on for years. I'm Eve Tro for Marketplace.
And let's do the numbers. Stocks are mixed in global trading. Asian shares closed up. Japan's Nikkei keeps rising. Investors expect good things from the new prime minister. Less so in Europe, where shares are mostly down. Yesterday on Wall Street, shares took a dive early with fiscal cliff worries, but stocks recovered later in the day as news broke that Speaker Boehner was calling the House back into session. The Dow ended down 0.1% at 13,096.
Marketplace covers the world of economics. Are you ready for some Freakonomics? We're partnering with the team that writes about the hidden side of everything for a regular Marketplace Freakonomics story, podcast, and more. Just go to FreakonomicsRadio.com.
This week, we're looking ahead at what you need to watch next year. Today, Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman joins us to look at what 2013 holds for the job market. Good morning, Mitchell.
Hi, Mark.
Now, let's start with organized labor, which has had a challenging year. Most recently, the law in Michigan limiting union power just signed into law this month. What can we expect for unions next year?
Well, you know, keep in mind, the anti-union forces aren't entirely sweeping the table. Michigan is a watershed for the labor movement. It's a high union membership state. It's got strong union roots. Maurice Emsalem is at the National Employment Law Project.
The effort in Michigan will provide more incentive for working people in the union movement to challenge any additional attacks in other states. It's going to be a constant challenge. This issue is not going to go away.
Also expect other related issues to crop up in states. School teacher tenure is under attack, and it's pretty controversial. States are trying to cut public employee pensions to save money, trying to block automatic deduction of union dues from paychecks.
Now let's look nationally. The unemployment rate is now 7.7%. That is better than 10% as it was in late 2009, but that is still well above where we want it to be. What are we looking for in 2013 for the job market overall?
Unemployment may come down a little bit, maybe the mid 7% range, and that's because as people start to see that there's slow, steady job creation every month, they start to think about coming back into the job market. So what you might see is a continuing improving job market, and yet the unemployment rate pretty much still stuck well above 7% at the end of 2013.
Now let's go to something at the intersection of the housing market and the job market. With home prices on the rise, people are actually moving again. So explain what's going on and what that all means for employment.
You know, it seems like on the face of it, it's a housing story because during the recession, so many people were stuck in homes that they couldn't sell. They were underwater. You know, now a lot of people have been foreclosed and some people are starting to be able to sell again. What that means is that people can start moving for jobs. And it's not like there aren't jobs in places. You know, if you're willing to go to North Dakota, if you're willing to go to Oklahoma, there's a lot of jobs in everything from, you know, energy and drilling and fracking to retail. They're offering high wages. Maybe people will now be able to start to move more, and we may see a little bit more of that churn that the American economy and the American labor market in general are really known for globally.
Okay, Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman, thanks.
You're welcome.
And finally, the Marist poll is out with its annual survey of the most annoying words and phrases in conversation, topping the list for the fourth year in a row. Whatever. A third of Americans can't stand it. Others in the list are on the following sentence. So, like, I'm just saying, you know, I just don't know my place in the Twitterverse. In New York, I'm Mark Garrison. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. This is APM, American Public Media.
Sometimes you can distill the mood of the country through music. And in the economic year that was 2012,
I think you saw sort of a lot of songs that spoke to, or at least tried to speak to, some notion of struggle.
I'm Jeremy Hobson, the music and economics of 2012. That's next time on Marketplace from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.